Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham, and with me today, back again. Now, here's the thing. I have many a person who is requested for this show, but I really think that anytime there's any kind of gap that goes before we have this fine gentleman on, there are always people who are like, hey, can we have Comic Big A back on? So with me back again is the one and only Andy Forrester, everybody. Yeah. Hello. Are you there?
A lot of people in your house there.
We've really grown a lot since you've done the show before, Andy. I've got a studio audience. Most of my square footage in my small house in Southern California is spent on just studio audience space.
Well, yeah, I see that.
All right, let's play a quick game of catch up. You and I were just chatting before we hit a record, but yeah. You have two daughters, correct?
I do. I have two daughters. They have gotten a little bit older. They are 14 and 9, both still for sale. They're horrible.
Really? You got them on the market. That's illegal out in the Carolinas now.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
Now, it's funny. I'm realizing even though you told me earlier, but I'm realizing that you and I from across the country have actually known each other for quite a long, because I feel like I met you when, holy balls, could it be that long? It's got to be at least.
It's been a while. That sounds right. Eight years?
No.
Yeah,
it's because I remember you had one in preschool.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Wow, holy smoke! Sorry, that's not interesting to anybody listening, but that just kind of blew my mind. I have two sons, obviously. Help me out. What's it like? You're on the threshold of teenage daughter. You're technically, I mean, you're kind of in the mix. Or does it happen at 12 or 13 or? Or,
yeah, it's there. It's nerve wracking. I'm not gonna lie to you. It drives me crazy. Everything you've ever heard about teenagers and their ungratefulness, their sullenness, and all of that is true.
Wow.
My older one. She really is super sweet, but you know, it just comes with the territory. They get to a certain age and they really do have that. I think I know it all. They, I put on an outfit the other day, to go somewhere, like a sweater vest and a dress shirt. We were going somewhere, probably church that I didn't want to go to, something like that. And so she literally was like, Dad, that does not match. And so I got the, you know, hey, that doesn't. And, what you have to know about me, if you may or not, is I'm an art major. If there's one thing I know, it's colors. And so I'm like, I said, hey, first of all, I know how to match colors. Second of all, do you really think Mom would let me out of the house, looking like, colors that don't match at all? Like, Mom's going to stop me before, hey, that doesn't go, or that looks terrible, or, you know, because I'm frumpy as it is, but she's definitely not going to let me leave the house looking horrendous. And I've recently, for a TV thing, I lost a little bit of weight. And so I've been able to fit in some clothes that I haven't, recently. And so I've been like, hey, I can fit into this. And so, not super excited, but I'm like, hey, I can fit into this. And so I've been wearing some stuff that I haven't, always been able to. And my wife will be like, hey, that looks great. And so but that's the kind of thing that your teenage daughter will do.
Is it just to be contrarian, or there's zero merit to what she said?
Yeah, Contrarian is her middle name. She's actually about 15 minutes and she'll come home and so I gotta, not that I gotta watch what I say, but I'm sure she'll overhear me and be like, hey, because this room is right next to her room. And
got it.
But yeah, it literally is a contrary thing. It literally is sort of like I've got to say something opposite of what you say, and you somehow just have to, like, sometimes you just got, it's that whole pick your battles thing of like, well, I'm just not going to argue with you on that because that's
really,
stupid. Yeah, you're just like, I'm, you know, like, I'll tell you the thing that so I don't know about your school schedule out there and what you got going on.
Sucks ass.
Yeah. Here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live, we have year-round schooling, which my older daughter did, and my younger daughter is now doing, but my older daughter is not doing. So I have one child who is on a traditional school calendar, which most human beings are familiar with, and my younger daughter is on a year-round calendar, which means they are able to fit 20% more children into a school by having them go year-round,
yep.
And that means... You know, at any given point, children, you know, my
it's
daughter.
3 months on, 1 month off, and then they kind of like the way you would do row, row, row your boat in the round, yeah. They yes, spin exactly. That calendar.
That's there. Wow. I have never heard it explained better. How did you do that?
Somebody
else has explained this to you.
Professional.
Yes, that is it. That's it exactly. I love that. And so, but I've got two that are on completely different schedules, and that's how that works. And so Alexa, my oldest, is in high school, and she has to be at school at 7:15. But I talked to both previous students and parents as to what time do I need to get there, what route should I take to get there, all this stuff, because I knew parents and students would know the secrets. And I talked to one girl who's in college, but she went to that same school, and she was like, oh, I would just get up at, like, you know, 6:40 and 6:50 and do my makeup in the car on the way. I'm like, yeah, you're the worst. I'm not asking you. And, you know, like, she, I was like, you've been of no help. But so several told me of the, you take this back route, you know, behind the school because there's nonstop wrecks in front of the school. And so to avoid that, you do this and blah, blah, blah. And basically, I have to wake her up and I take her. I don't make her take the bus in the morning, but I do make her take the bus in the afternoon. She hates me for it. But the reason I do it is because if you don't make them take the bus, they sort of lose their opportunity to take the bus. And as a comedian, I may have like a week where I'm like, hey, I'm at this club for a week. I need you to have that available. I need that to be available. So I don't need it to be like, you got to find a ride today. So I was like, hey, you know what? I need you to ride the bus. She actually texted me today and was like, listen, all of my friends that take the bus are not going to be on the bus today. Can you come pick me up? I'm like, nope, I'm recording. So tough. And if she could curse, she would. But she wrote me back, dang it. And so I have to get up at 5:50 to wake her up. And you're thinking to yourself, well, she's 14. Can't she wake herself up? She has an alarm that goes off. And if left to her own devices, it will go off. And she just never turns it off. She just sleeps right through it. Or she'll turn it off and just go right back to sleep. Now, I function very differently. If an alarm goes off, I get up out of the bed. And I set it across the room. And I get up and I turn it off or hit snooze. And I walk down to her room and turn on lights, and I turn off fans that we all sleep with for white noise. And I'm like, hey, get up. I do it very nicely. And, you know, like the other morning I did it, but I didn't stay in the room to make sure her feet hit the floor. And then I usually go lay back down and sleep through like three or four more snoozes.
Yeah, because if you get up and wake her, and then you are now off the hook, right? Because are they like kind of old enough where they could feed themselves and get themselves to school?
Wouldn't that be nice? But the thing is she's thin as a rail, unlike me, so she won't eat breakfast. And if left to her own devices, once again, she would only eat carbs. So she would eat only carbs for breakfast, only carbs for lunch, and only carbs for dinner if you let her.
Got it.
And still skinny as a rail. And so so you try to find a way to sneak in some kind of protein. That's all I care about. Like, get some protein.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten calls from school that I have a headache, and I've picked her up, and then all of a sudden it dawns on me. I'm like, hey, let me ask you, what did you eat for breakfast? Nothing. What'd you eat for lunch? Nothing. Well, some crackers. And then, you know, like celery, and then
those are the days. I remember junior high, man. I could literally live. I never had headaches even. I, for lunch, could literally live off of a fun-sized bag of Funyuns and a 12-ounce Pepsi. I could have that for lunch. Today, If I had that, it would be worse than a weekend bender at Lake Havasu.
Like, and she does this constantly, and you know, I don't know about your wife, but my wife gets migraines that coincide with a certain event monthly. And
never heard of it.
And so my you know, it doesn't always happen, but it occasionally happens. And I think that she may have passed that on to my daughter. So when my daughter calls and says, "Hey, listen, I really don't feel good and I have a migraine," I take it. I don't take any of her other illnesses seriously, but I'll take that one a little seriously because I've dealt with, you know, 20 some odd years of my wife with migraines. So I'm like, all right, well, this could be serious. And then you start talking to her. You're like, "What did you eat today?" And sometimes it doesn't dawn on me. I'm not smart enough to go like, "Hey, wait a minute, let me interrogate you about your diet."
Well, that's the thing that's kind of frustrating for me to be sitting on my end of the fence is that I look forward to a day where I am not having to force my children to eat.
Yeah, no, and, I would love. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, here's the other thing. The other side of the coin is I got a 9-year-old who is only. Who's okay? So I got 14 and 9.
Yeah.
14-year-old, beanpole, 9-year-old, not so much. And she's sneaking as much food as humanly possible. And none of it's healthy. And, you know, like we're talking, you know, like she's a hoarder and she's, you know, like I went to give her a hug the other night to go to bed and I put my hand under her pillow. I'm like, "What's this?" She goes, "Halloween candy." I'm like, "Well, that's all going in the trash for now." Like every bit of that, you know, wherever that bag is hidden that you know where, you know where it is and I don't, that's going in the trash. Oh, man. Yeah, well, we've only said it 100 times and hidden it 50. So I don't, you know, what do you want me to say? So but also the 14-year-old does that crap too. She, you know, we've pulled drawers out in her room and found a bunch of candy wrappers. So one of them has a better metabolism than the other. And. You know, the 9-year-old is wearing clothes that really are only a size or two off from the 14-year-old. And it's rather irritating, to be honest, because folding clothes is a pain in the ass.
Here's the thing. I have so many questions that are popping to my head. Let me do this. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. And I'm just going to hit you with a barrage. Like it's a father of teenage daughter press conference. When we
OK, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So we're back through the magic of I literally hit stop and then hit record again in my world. But to the listener, they might have heard a Geico ad. Or my favorite is I've heard tale of a somehow a local grocery store will have an ad dropped in. Like it knows where you're listening to this. It is awesome, the world we live in. But so you were just talking about the metabolism and kind of size difference and how you can manage that as a parent. I would like to and tell me if this is you know, a taboo subject or anything like that, but I find it interesting that I'm compelled to ask, in a world where body image is such an issue, especially for girls, and it's also so foreign to me, but I know obviously a lot of the listeners have daughters. Is there a part of you that has to burn any kind of calories on the, you know, the difference between the two girls, and or are they in a headspace where that's not even a big deal to them? They don't care.
I don't think it's a big deal to them. There's also the fact they both have ADHD. They both take medicine, but neither one of them takes they don't take the same medicine. And For years, the 14-year-old has taken medicine that has always kept her appetite rather suppressed at lunch. So I can't give her too much crap about if she doesn't eat a big lunch. But, you know, and I understand the idea that when she wakes up and she's like, it's 6:40 and she's like, "But I'm not hungry." But then she'll be like, "But can we stop and get Bojangles on the way to school?" I'm like, "Well, are you not hungry or do you just not like what's available here? Because it's, you know, the two don't equal. It's like you're just being picky and, you know, I can make bacon in no time and feed you, you know, so you're just being a jerk. But, you know, you want a chicken biscuit. I get it. Don't we all? But that's not going to happen every day. So let's suck it up and eat something here. And, you know, I'll even say, like, have a bowl of cereal. It's carbs, but, you know, eat something, but don't. So But to not be hungry at lunch because your medication makes you not hungry, and that happens a lot with people who take that kind of medication, I understand it. Meanwhile, I went and took the younger one, Olivia, for a follow-up appointment or an appointment recently to where she gets her meds, and the nurse pointed out to the doctor that she's doubled in size in the last year since she's been taking her ADHD medication. And it shows, you know, like she was, I mean, she's not obese, but she's just thicker than her sister.
Yeah. If you were to compare the two, if you were to see her,
compare the two, and she's active, but, also they have those dumb iPads. They have iPad minis, which was never my idea. It was Mrs. Claus's idea. And, they are obsessed with them. They spend way too much time on them. And so, you know, you'll say things like, hey, let's go outside, let's do this, let's do that. They would rather stare at those dumb iPads. And I literally would like to crack them over my knee. I really would. I don't like them. And I know that almost makes me a grumpy old man.
I think it just makes you a father.
Yeah, but they don't, you know, I've caught the little one watching really dumb things, like, and inappropriate things. And then the older one watches other people playing Minecraft on YouTube. I'm like, you're not even playing Minecraft. You're watching other people play Minecraft.
That is like the new Elvis Presley. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the devil's music. That to me is what, because I grew up playing games, as I'm sure you did too.
Yes. And now, I love video games. And you're like, to watch other people play video games is stupid.
Yes. And so I imagine the parents of that time, they danced to music. Yeah. So there is a connection there. But for us just to look at it and go, how crazy is it to sit and just watch someone else play a game? And it's not even like an accelerated thing where, at least that's been, here's the thing. I'm sure those exist, and I know those exist, but I think the ones that are popular is where people just sit out and play a game, and then they start streaming it live, much like we do this podcast, and people tune in to watch someone else play a game that they could even have in their own library of games.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
It's such a weird, weird world. Well, my question to that is that I have two things. Number one, real quick, is, does the I, because we have the Amazon Fire and it has like a free time, which is an app for kids, and it lets you restrict the time. So I could set time of day, like it can only be turned on after 7 a.m. and it can't be turned on again after 7 p.m. And then during that day, I can limit the time. So they can only, my guys have an hour, I think an hour during the week, and then they have 2 hours on the weekend. And I expand the time frame that they can play in. And anymore, they don't max out on that. Does that not? No, I'm sure that there's an app for that.
You and I maybe need to
talk offline.
Talk about that. Yeah, we may need to. Because I, you know, I've had parents try to explain to me how they go about it. And, you know, again, I've tried to explain to my wife how terrible it is. And I'm like, I don't. You know, like, I don't know. I don't
The downside, you know, like, with the iPad is it doesn't have profiles like the Amazon Fire does. That's the only thing I can think of. But I'm sure that there's an app out there. It's got to be.
Yeah. I'm sure. And I recently, by chance, acquired one myself. It was sort of a by chance thing. And
it fell in your lap in the car, or
but I got it for a really great deal vicariously, and then it's like, I know that it has some graphic opportunities in a certain way, and I was like, well, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and do this. And but I still, you know, if I'm gonna do stuff, I probably do it more on my phone still than I do, you know what I mean? So anyway, it's like Facebook. It's like a time suck. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just, and they, you know, like, oh, you live, you know, my 9-year-old lives like a hoarder, and you're like, you please just stop doing this and clean your room. You know, it's just so bad. It's so bad.
Well, here's
so,
the other thing that you pointing out to me, having girls, is why the hell do we live in a democracy, republic, whatever the hell you want to call it?
Right.
Why do we live in a time and a place where school is something that needs to be arrived at so godforsaken early?
Like, yes,
how,
yes.
Why is it that we can't have school coincide with business hours? Or does it, is the idea that school, because here's the thing, school starts for me at 8 o'clock in our area, right? Which I kind of get, because then that gives you time to drop off the child and then invoke your commute, whatever, you know, begin on your trek to your workplace.
Right.
Like, it kind of, I get that. Now, the thing I don't want to accommodate for is if you got a 2-hour commute, you got to work something out. You know what I mean? Like, the system has to be built for the people that are most adjacent, is my opinion, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, why is it then at junior high is when it jumps up to 7 o'clock? Because here's the thing, it's not like everybody always bitches about how the teachers' unions have so much control over scheduling and everything. Well, what kind of teacher wants to get up at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, well, and then they have to get up even earlier.
Yes.
To be there, you know what I mean? Like, so,
especially in an occupation that is dominated by women, which, listen, call me sexist, but it takes them longer to get ready in the morning.
Yes. No. That's the thing. And, again, you know, I get up like – I basically get up like my dad used to. Like, he – you know, his alarm went off. He got up. He got ready. He ran car washes. That's what he did. And so he would just get up, get ready. He would usually try to get us up for school before he left. And we lived in a 2-story house. So he would basically beat the wall. Don't make me come up there. If I have to come up there, you're going to be wet. And that basically meant he was coming up and he was going to throw water on
us.
And occasionally that happened, and we regretted it. So we would get up to go, you know, get ready for school and stuff. And so, you know, like, I just get up. It's what happens. But my wife is the same. Now, my little one, she will wake up at dumb times. You know, she'll get up at like 5:30 in the morning and be like, hey,
what's up,
dude? What are you doing? Why? Like, I'll be leaving to take
sleeping.
Yeah, I'll be leaving to take Alexa to school at 6:40. Because that's, you know, a lot of, again, the parents told me the secret. If you leave by 6:40, if you get her there at this time, drop her off in a completely different
parking. Oh, you don't get stuck in line and all that.
You don't get stuck in the traffic and all this stuff. So if you do all this, you're good. So I try and do all that just to save myself time and effort and all this thing. And I'll be leaving, and here's Olivia going, good morning. I'm like, dude, you don't have to be up for like another hour or at least another 30 minutes. So like, but you know, she's got her own issues. So while you're away driving Alexa to school, she's stealing money. So, you know, that's what we got going on. Ask me about that a little later. That's fun. But yeah, the high schooler is,
well, to be fair, maybe she's just getting up early to go to work. I mean, it just so happens her occupation is thievery.
She is a thief. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, like, and I feel bad, but you know, my wife is the primary breadwinner and I have to go in to her room and go, are you going to get up? You know, like, I don't, you know, I hate, are you going to work today? Or, you know, and I don't mean it in a bad way, because sometimes she didn't tell me, but she's not. You know what I mean? Like, she could be working from home or, you know, whatever. She could be taking she could have a conference call. My wife has a job where she will get home from work sometimes at 6 or 7 at night. And then she's back on the phone with people in Indonesia at our house at 8:30 at night until like 11:30. So if she doesn't get up the next morning right away, I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's fine. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes she forgets to tell me, hey, please help me. I got an 8 o'clock meeting and I need some help getting up. And, or, you know, either she forgets to tell me or I forget.
Well, but you don't get angry is what you're saying. You're not frustrated with your role of taking care of the kids.
That's the whole thing. Is I wake up and I'm usually good. All it takes is somebody being hateful to me, and then I'm not doing good. But I wake up, I'm fine. So, but yeah, it's interesting. I'll tell you the thing that, you know, like I said, some of the things you'll never have to deal with unless you and the wife
have
not called it off.
Nope, we're done.
Yeah, you're done. So,
we're calling it.
You know, the thing that women have to deal with that men never do. I got the 14-year-old. has not mastered the art of taking care of that secretly enough. Like, I find too many remnants, and I'm like, dude, there shouldn't be wrappers in the hallway. You know what I mean?
Like, in the hallway.
Yeah, I'm like, why are there wrappers of this? Why?
Because they dominate your house. It's no different. My poor wife must. Here's the thing. I have got to get to a financial position where I can add a second bathroom to my house very soon, because my wife will have to share a bathroom with three men, and that's not okay. There's going to be hair in places that shouldn't,
six feet
off the ground. There's going to be inappropriate hair at above eye level, and she can't wrap her female brain about how, for whatever reason, pubic hair achieved flight before birds even. Like, it's not applicable to gravity. It floats like Superman is the idea.
Yeah.
And I think my assumption, my guess would be, is that the reverse effect could also be true, is that you are living in a world of females, and they are, that to them, that's nothing. Like, it's like I would imagine it's like a Band-Aid wrapper. And so, like, we all know what's going on. You know, maybe they're all synced up at the same time. So that's why it's not that big a deal. What do you think of that idea?
I mean, it is, but it's also, the older one and the younger one have similar tendencies in the hoarder, living filthy type of love. Yeah.
And they're not organized and clean. Nobody's uptight or anal or anything about that.
Right, right. And my wife will look at the younger one's room and will say, like, she's just like Paula, which is my wife's sister.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm not trying to overshare or anything, but she's got some mental, not like severe or anything, but she's kind of bipolar or whatever. And so that's sort of some stuff I worry about. My youngest one is that somehow, undiagnosed yet, but she's got some issues that are like, oh my God, because she's definitely got some issues. But it's like, you ask her to, I don't know what happens with your fellas, but you might ask them to clean a room. They might pitch a fit, but eventually they do it. And with us, it's like there's some sort of gunpoint that needs to happen.
If I get challenged, it is a kid finding a boundary. And so, therefore, it's easier for me to go at that and even attack it aggressively. But what you're saying is that if you get challenged, to come at it aggressively is in some way, shape, or form almost unfair. But you still need to stand your ground.
Right, exactly.
So it's more of an emotional minefield for you to navigate.
Right, right, right. And that's a great way to put it. Like, it's almost unfair to challenge, but you have to. You can't sit there and be like, all right.
Because then it would just be a runaway train.
Right. And I don't parent that way. I don't do the, well, she's got, no. As a matter of fact, my kids have ruined me, and I may have mentioned them in the past, for empathy. I have no empathy for them whatsoever. Last week, my Olivia had two projects that were due, which in all fairness, her teachers were idiots. They were like, hey, listen, when you come back from the Thanksgiving break, her main teacher gave her a project that was due like the week after Thanksgiving. And then she goes to see one other teacher for like a language arts thing. And that teacher gave her something that was due like the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And those are both due the week after Thanksgiving. And, nut job left all of her material at school over the Thanksgiving break. So we couldn't work on it. Yeah. So she then I think she not only that, I think she left it on the Monday. So then, like, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So we had to send the language arts teacher a note going, look, that's not going to happen. That we're not going to get your project, so we can turn it in like, a third of the way done, or once it's done, and then we got to work on this other project because it's got to get done. And so Friday she came home after the other one had already been done. I'm like, we got to get working on that language arts project. She was pitching a fit. I got all weekend. I'm like, no, you don't. You got stuff going on this weekend. You got to get it done. Throwing a fit, and in the process of throwing a fit, she hurt her finger because she was throwing a fit. I even videotaped some of it because I was like, this is insane. And while I'm out doing leaves, She kept coming out, showing me how bad her finger hurt. And one time she comes out, she goes, "I just can't write anymore. My finger." She's crying the whole time. "I can't." I said, oh. And I literally just have a stone face going, "Don't care. Keep writing." And by the time, after about an hour, she goes, "I'm done. I finished my project." I'm like, "See?
See how easy that is?" Oh, I do that all the time, where especially because it's even worse because homework is new to them. Now I have a kindergartner and he does. And
yeah.
And so they do this thing where, you know, they don't want to do it because, they, you know, for whatever reason, because it's work. It sucks. And I don't like homework, but I use it as a job equivalent. So I'm like, this is your job. You don't always want to go to work, but you got to go to work. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And it's important to learn to overcome this so that you could focus. And then when the job is done, you could move on to having fun. That's how we do it. And so then there was tears. And then, so I tried to go, "Listen, see how, do you remember how we've done this three times before where you start getting upset?" And then I say, "Well, that's not going to matter." And then, do you understand how I'm already writing? Like, I know what's going to be said. And then what happens? And then I do it. I go, "Right. So how about we save ourselves the 20 minutes of crying and we just skip to getting it done?" Yeah, and then you could go outside, you could throw the football around, you could play some video games if you want. Trust me, life is good when shit is done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, it is. I don't get it, man. I don't because the truth of the matter is when we get her report cards, she's an A student. Except for behavior, she's an A student. So it's like,
yeah,
if you would just do this. Just come in, just do this. I don't want to have to deal with this. And most of the time, and I don't even, we used to have issues with the older one with homework, and the teachers would tell us, "Look, if it takes more than 45 minutes, just stop."
Yeah.
Just it's not worth it. And we told our next door neighbor that, and our, you know, she was like, "That's terrible. No." And, you know, she would tell us.
She wanted you to do it no matter what. Is what the neighbor was saying.
Like, you know, the next door neighbor would be like, you know, that's a horrible way to parent. You just make them sit there. If it's 2 a.m, they do it. And I'm like, that's abuse.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't, now, you know, now it is. Yeah, there was a time when it wasn't.
Yeah. But I'm like, we're not doing that. And so, I mean, it's abuse all around for like you. And them, and like, it's just not like, it's not productive is what it is. Yeah. Like, you know, like, so
this just in, parenting can be miserable most of the time.
Yeah, right. So what I found was, is for Olivia, the younger one, I have found that it's a lot easier if I, at 4 o'clock, I let her get home from school, which actually she's in kind of some aftercare right now at school, which makes my life a lot easier. And that is also because if I've got gigs and if my wife is out of town and that sort of thing. And so, but if what I found, if I let her kind of chill out for a little bit, maybe a little 30-minute break, and then like, "All right, it's 4 o'clock, time for homework." Yeah. She will be like, "Yes, sir." She will say that. And then I don't even monitor her. I just let her do it. And then hopefully I will remember to check and see what she did. But I don't stand over her and watch her do it, and then it gets done. Because if you watch her, then she's getting angry at you and she's getting flustered. But if you just tell her to do it and then you go do something else, the laundry or whatever, then she's taking care of business.
Yep.
And I just have found that to be so much better than... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't sit over my kids, and I explain that to the teachers. Like, I help them if they have questions, but your kids are also older. But to me, I feel like that's a big part of it. You got to teach them that independence. Let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back and do a moment of the week and talk holidays. All right, we're back. Here's the thing. I wanted to chat real quick because the holidays are coming and the Christmas. Do you guys have any like kind of traditions that you do in the Forrester family? Have you already gotten your tree?
We got our tree. My father-in-law is a athletic director and baseball coach at a private school. And for a fundraiser, they sell Christmas trees. And so my mother-in-law insists that they buy one of those for us. So we have a live tree every year. And so we put that up last weekend And it's funny. I put up all these Christmas lights on the outside of the house. Nothing where I can fall off a ladder and kill myself. And
I remember you told a story about that before here on this show.
Yeah. So nothing where I can do that. Everything's just sort of like just slightly out of reach. So I get a stool, and then so I do that, and I get all the boxes down full of the Christmas stuff. But when it came to decorating, instantly the three ladies, the wife and the two daughters, started arguing about placement and who gets to put what ornament on. And that's when I put my headphones on and went and raked leaves in the dark outside. I'm not kidding you.
Here's the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la.
And my neighbor was outside, he's getting ready to go somewhere. I said, hey, can I come move in with you? He goes, our heat's not working. I was like, I don't really see the problem.
Yeah. Take me with you. I need a safe space.
Somebody in the chat room just brought up a good thing is that I see this, it's not just this. He mentioned Elf on the Shelf. There is a trend in parenting where we are constantly looking for, not like, there's the trend in becoming more involved. Like, I am much more involved in my kids day to day than my father was. And my father was a great father and still is. It wasn't that he was disconnected. It's just the stuff that I navigate or have to navigate, maybe a better way to put it is expected to navigate, is very different than what was expected of him. And the Elf on the Shelf to me is an example of an unnecessary additive.
Do you do that?
Here's the thing. When my kids were younger, I thought, how fun is this? Now, I'm not the guy who does the, you know, I'm not going to do a fucking Pinterest orgasm and all the shenanigans that the elf is going to create. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, the extent of what I would have probably done is create, you know, write little messages in mini marshmallows. Maybe.
Yeah.
But, and so I purchased one. And I was always on the road. Christmas was a big, the December month was always a big month where I would be gone with our friend Heath, who just had his first baby. And so I got it saying, hey, I think this, my wife is big time into Christmas, and she bought it. So I got it. She never did it. In fact, one time I think she even read the book, but then never did it. And so I would just like to throw out there, as far as my opinion on the Elf on the Shelf, If you like that kind of thing, do it. But just do it with zero pressure. Don't even worry about it. That's, I think, is the key to enjoying Elf on the Shelf. Have moments or whatever. But the people who create Elf on the Shelf and support it are these overachievers that I secretly feel are just inside. Yeah. They're just broken. They're broken and barely hanging on, and that's why they do these things, because they don't know how to not do them. That's just how they're wired. I do believe that there are people who are just really great people who could just handle all of that stuff and nail it and crush it, and everything is awesome. But I would also feel a very strong urge to try and do some kind of like bloodshot eyes and make it look like the elf had been on a coke bender. I like the tumblers and the Instagram accounts that of, you know, the elf is doing the naughty things and all that stuff. Wipe yourself. Here's the thing. Not that I'm not saying that anybody who listens to this show, in my opinion, they are. But I am not objective enough to step back and say anybody who listens to the show and enjoys it and agrees with the things that I say on the show about parenting, that that I'm right. But what I can say without a doubt in my mind is that you should find comfort in the fact that it's not just you. You're not an asshole. Because you're like, fuck the Elf on the Shelf. I don't want to do the Elf on the Shelf. Or, you know what? I'm just going to move the Elf on the Shelf around. The fact that you even have an Elf on a Shelf, I think, makes you better than most parents in history. That's it. Yeah. That's you're already doing it better. You know what I mean? I feel like we need to stop shaming the people because they don't spend 45 minutes storyboarding their Elf on the Shelf Christmas or plus maybe 4 hours is a better example, and start shaming the people that can't get up and make a breakfast for their child, not because of financial reasons, but because of lack of interest. Those are the people. The people who are actually neglecting their children should be feeling shame, not someone who looks at their spouse and says, says, oh, fuck, I forgot to move the shelf, the elf on the shelf. I have ruined Christmas and all of the magic that comes with it for our dear, sweet Timothy. He will never know the joy of Santa or of Christmas or of Zuzu Bell's petals. Nothing. Nothing will fill his heart and soul ever again because I didn't move the fucking plastic shelf that I bought for $36 on Amazon because of that bullshit asshole of a mother, Alicia, who is always bragging. Oh, you know what we did is I crocheted a little yurt. You see, our Sebastian the Elf lives in a yurt that we made. It's very cute. It's shaped like a Christmas tree, and he decorates it every year. Fuck you, Alicia. Anyway. happy holidays, everybody.
It doesn't sound like you've got any pent-up anger about the elf on
Other
the shelf.
Other than that,
doesn't.
No opinion.
Yeah, no opinion. It sounds like you're kind of like, you know, real unopinionated on that.
Yeah. So the other thing before we get
the original idea was I assume the original idea was literally just move him around, right?
Yeah, well, and it was another element of magic to the holiday. Like, it had a great intention, but I think that what happens because of the way, and this is what I hope this show can turn this ship around. Because, right. And I should find a way to post that. I got to find it. But I saw this really interesting, I don't know where this, somebody at work sent to me. This guy, I think he's some kind of a psychologist, maybe an economist or a socio, I don't know. But he basically was giving this talk, kind of like a TED talk, but he was on a show. And he was saying that there was recently a boom in parenting trends that caused damage to people today that are entering the workforce, and they call them millennials, but I think a millennial gets a lot of shit on right now that's unfair,
right?
But basically that because there were people who had the kids that are in their 20s now, they grew up having parents that just wanted them to feel good about themselves. For whatever reason, those parents didn't.
Yeah.
And so they said, the world is yours. Go get what you want. Everything is good. You just got to, you know, go out there and it's going to happen. And it's making entitled people. And I think another side of that, a side effect of that is that all of us, for whatever reason, carry around this bullshit guilt. And my mission in life is to rid all of you of that bullshit guilt. That there is no fuck. How could you be guilty for not being good enough to your children? Like, and I've had experts, doctors who study this shit, who have said the same thing. If you are worried about whether or not you are being good enough to your kid, you can stop worrying because you are already immune. You are exempt, my friend. You are grandfathered in. Everything you're doing is A-okay. That's my opinion. Other than that, again, I have no opinion on the matter.
I will tell you a funny one I did see.
What?
Well, two things real quick. You know there's a Jewish version of the Elf on the Shelf?
I have heard of this.
The Mensch on the bench.
Yes.
I think that's hilarious. And the one funny one I saw recently of the Elf on the Shelf, somebody had froze him in water and then put Elsa from Frozen, like a little figurine, where she's got her hand out like she's freezing something. And so there's Elf on the Shelf.
So Elsa frozen
in a block of ice.
That's outstanding.
And she's sitting there with her. I thought that was hilarious.
See, now that's what I mean. Here's the thing. Here's how you can make it fun and make your kids more interesting people. Do some fucked up shit to that elf. You know what I mean? Really just do
set him on fire and then put the heat miser beside him and be like, you know.
Be creative. Be creative, because I really think, I've said it before, not a lot, but a dusting of abuse just makes people interesting. You don't really want to hurt them. You want to keep them on their toes and keep them off balance. Let's do some moment of the week before I run out of time.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA.
All right. Would you like to go first, Andy, or would you like me to go first?
I'd like for you to go first. All right. I can conjure up one.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I hope so. So I'm gonna brush through a couple because I think I've done two episodes this week. I recorded them closer or whatever. I'm good. No, this is right. So we played. I still think I might have shared this one already. I'm way over talking about this for a guy who just ranted about not feeling guilty. My kids are way into football, as I've said before on the show, and there's a size difference because one is 8, one is 5, and so but they want to tackle each other, and I like that. I think boys can wrestle, and that's fine, but sometimes daddy just wants to sit and get caught up on Westworld, and while the kids play in the backyard, because that's the way parenting is supposed to be when you have children that are 8 and 5. And so as a buffer to that, they'll get their wrestling out. I let them wrestle around the living room. I wrestle with them and all that. So what I did was I purchased a flag football set and gave it to them so that instead of tackling each other, they could play football, but they just do the flag. And so I got that and they love it. Oh, my gosh. It was so great. They loved it so much. They wanted to play with their mother and I. Mm-hmm. So they had the idea, though, of playing against mom and dad. I guess because they thought we were old and decrepit or whatever. And I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you that my wife and I are better people and that we just let them run the board on us. Like, we just let them score. But what's hilarious is, I don't think I did tell this story because I didn't share this part, is the first time my wife and I had the ball, she was going to play quarterback, okay? My older son is going to rush the quarterback, and I am going to go out for a pass, okay? And my competitive side kicked in on a level of astronomical embarrassment. When she said hike and I saw my son come close, I left it to like almost full speed to reach, and she threw the ball and I lunged for it and I mowed over my 5-year-old. And he's at just the right height where his poor oversized head was right on like the inside of my thigh. So it's like
This is flag football. I just want to confirm.
Yes. Flag football. Non-contact football for the love of the game. And I took the area from which he was conceived, and I used that general area of my body to just bull over him. And the reason I'm accentuating that is because I literally could have probably leapt over him had I known he was there, but I was so disinterested with where he was. I just leveled him, laid him out, and caught the ball. And then realized I was a father.
Person.
Yeah. And the reason that this is a moment of the week and not a thing that causes me to get interviewed by Child Protective Services
is
because my son was okay. And everybody thought it was funny, him included. Because I kept saying, I am so sorry. Because there was a part of me that I saw where he was, but I thought I had kind of sidestepped. But it's also part of the moment of the week for my younger son is that he is 5 years old and kind of small for his age, but I think he's just wired to play defense. If he is going to play football, he wants to play defense, and he has like Ronnie Lott level closing ability, because then he started going to prevent. So we built like end zones in the backyard, and he would go on the far end of the end zone standing on the goal line. And when my wife would throw, because it was easier for him when I threw it, he was already there by the time she caught the ball and grabbing her and like hanging on to her like a capuchin monkey, like just grappling her while she tried to move and just reaching his hands around till he felt the flag and pull it. And I've never been more proud of my son in that moment than to watch him become a barnacle to his mother's thigh while he's trying to rip a flag off. And we just had, an all around good time. I mean, full disclosure, my older son, unfortunately had to learn the lesson of that you don't always win, even though we weren't complete a-holes. We weren't like easy on them per se. Obviously I mowed him over, and my wife, I think, also knocked over the other kid too. Oh, and I also stiff-armed him. I stiff-armed the 8-year-old.
God.
I know. Yeah. I know. It was bad.
Moment of the week. Sure. I love it. You know, every time I've ever done this podcast, the moment of the week is supposed to be something real nice about your kids.
Well,
and this has really turned into the, this is the time that me and my wife tackled the crap out of our kids playing flag football, and we won.
We'll call this the shameful moment of the week.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. Because every time I do it, I'm like, did they do anything? Like, I literally sit here going, I can't think of something positive that my dumb kids did.
There's nothing that you find. Well, those are mine. Is that I stiff armed him and he learned that, you know, you can't always win and all that stuff. But there's nothing that they did that was endearing. And I should also tell you that I'm an asshole and I've had so much fun talking to you, but I have to go pick up my kindergartner in about 10 minutes.
Okay. No, I'll be quick. So I taped something that will be on pureflix.com, and as the guy who ran the whole thing this weekend said, you can subscribe to it in February and then just ditch it after a month. I don't really care. And yeah, he says, I'm not a company man. But a comedian named Tommy Blaze like came up with the idea, and it was like a series of 12 shows. And the show I was on was hosted by Louis Anderson, and I did that this past weekend, and it was fabulous. I got to hang out with all these comedians this weekend, and so much fun when you get to see comedians that you've worked with and meet new ones you never have. And so my wife and my 14-year-old came out to watch me on Saturday, and so I wanted to make sure that they – you know, made it into the audience and got in there. So I went out to see them, you know, like I think a lot, you know, if other – comedians had friends and whatnot, they may not have gone out to see them, but I did. And so, you know, the audience that were sitting around them realized that I was one of the comics going on. And so after I was the very first comic to go up, they were all, my daughter was like, everybody loved you, Dad. They were all like asking if those, they were asking if those stories were true. I didn't tell any stories about Alexa. I did say she was for sale, but I didn't tell any stories about her. I told stories about Olivia, and so they were asked if those were true, and they said I was great and all that stuff. So I was glad that my wife and daughter did not plan ahead and didn't eat anything, and so they left during the slight intermission between the. They taped four shows in a row, and so they left during the first two show after the first two shows. So I was a little disappointed they didn't stick around for all of the comedy, but it is what it is. So. But anyway, it was, I had so much fun, and I was glad that my wife and daughter were in the audience. So there was that, but
that is
that's
cool.
About the, yeah. So,
all right. Well, that was our show. Send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. If you want to find, Andy, he's known as Comic Big A. You can go to @ComicBigA on Twitter. comicbiga.com, or you can give him a little friend or a like on Facebook at facebook.com/imbiga. All of that is in the description of this here episode. If you're not tired of hearing my dumbass, you can tune into the Producer Michelle podcast. She's the producer of the Bill Handel Show, the show I work on that is on Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KFI AM 640. And if you want to tune in because you're bored or whatever, or like to hear about news talk, then you could do that via an iHeartRadio app and tune in from anywhere. You could stream it. It's 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. You should know that. You could listen live to the show while we record at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. If you go there, you register, then you can sign up to follow it. You get an email every time I go live, and there's a free phone app, so you can listen via your phone. And don't forget to go to thedadpodcast.com, scroll down to the bottom, click on that Amazon banner, bookmark that as your Amazon link, and then every time you go to Amazon, Daddy gets a little taste of whatever it is you buy. It costs you nothing. All it does is put a little extra ducats in my pocket, and that is it. Before we go, though, Andy, is there any upcoming shows that you have within the next month that we can mention in case you are in someone's area?
I will be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, at the Carolina Comedy Club. I'll be in Roanoke, Virginia at the Star City Comedy Club.
When will you be in Myrtle Beach?
January 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Okay.
And I'll be January 21st at Roanoke and possibly Greenville, South Carolina, 27th, 28th of January, but that may change. And check out my website. And then also I do have a podcast as well called The Eating It Podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Eating It, which Justin helped me get all my ducks in a row to make that happen a while back. And so that's on iTunes, the Eating It, or you just type in Eating It Podcast, like, you know, when you're eating something, or if you're doing poorly on stage, Eating It Podcast. And that's only the other thing I'll mention. And I'm sorry. I really appreciate you having me, man.
No, we're going to do this again. We're going to rotate through dads, and you are one of everybody's favorites.
I love talking to you because I love talking to anybody. I love talking to any, especially comedians with kids, because it's a struggle having kids for any parent. Yeah. It's a different kind of struggle when you're a comedian with kids. It just is. Just is a different
you're
struggle.
You're more prone to damage them, I think.
Yeah, there is that too. Really is. It really is.
All right. On behalf of Andy Forrester, a.k.a. Comic Big A, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.